Today is the 23rd day of August. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. Welcome back around the global campfire. It is, it's like review time. Here we are at the end of another week. We always start them shiny and sparkly and look out over them. And here we are at the end. And so we look back at how that went, because we lived another week. We've written another chapter of the story of our lives. And so, great to be here with you today. If your week is like my week, then there's, you know, plenty of ways to improve. And there's successes and setbacks. There are victories and challenges. And we keep learning. And we keep growing. And we keep going one step in front of the other. And one of those rhythms of one step in front of the other is right here, together, showing up. Showing up for each other. Showing up for ourselves. And taking another step forward together in the scriptures. And so let's jump into that. We have begun one of the most riveting pieces of literature in the entire world's history, but one of the most important topics in humanity. And it's found here in the scriptures, in the book of Job. And emotional trauma and suffering. And the questions that arise from it. Why? Why being the central one? And so we have gotten into Job and his friends, who are now having a conversation. And that is, the majority of Job is a conversation. Job at this point is just in anguish. And so he's giving voice to it. He's angry. He's frustrated. He's confused. He is hurting deeply. He is suffering emotionally beyond description. He's in trauma. He's giving voice to that. And his friends are trying to give him some comfort. And so that's where we pick up the story. Job chapters 8 through 11 today. Then Bildad the Shuhite spoke up and said, "How long will you speak these things, seeing that the words of your mouth are like a great wind? Does God pervert justice? Or does the Almighty pervert what is right? If your children sinned against him, he gave them over to the penalty of their sin. But if you will look to God and make your supplication to the Almighty, if you become pure and upright, even now he will rouse himself for you and will restore your righteous home. Your beginning will seem so small, since your future will flourish. For inquire now of the former generation and pay attention to the findings of their ancestors. For we were born yesterday and do not have knowledge, since our days on earth are but a shadow. Will they not instruct you and speak to you and bring forth words from their understanding? Can the papyrus plant grow tall where there is no marsh? Can reeds flourish without water? While they are still beginning to flower and not ripe for cutting, they can wither away faster than any grass. Such is the destiny of all who forget God. The hope of the godless perishes, whose trust is in something futile, whose security is a spider's web. He leans against his house, but it does not hold up. He takes hold of it, but it does not stand. He is a well-watered plant in the sun. Its shoots spread over its garden. It wraps its roots around a heap of stones, and it looks for a place among stones. If he is uprooted from his place, then that place will disown him, saying, 'I have never seen you.' Indeed, this is the joy of his way, and out of the earth others spring up. Surely, God does not reject a blameless man, nor does he grasp the hand of the evildoers. He will yet fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with gladness. Those who hate you will be clothed with shame, and the tent of the wicked will be no more. Then Job answered, "Truly, I know that this is so. But how can a human be just before God? If someone wishes to contend with him, he cannot answer him one time in a thousand. He is wise in heart and mighty in strength. Who has resisted him and remained safe? He who removes mountains suddenly, who overturns them in his anger, he who shakes the earth out of its place so that its pillars tremble, he who commands the sun and it does not shine, and seals up the stars. He alone spreads out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea. He makes the Bear, Orion, and the Pleiades, and the constellations of the southern sky. He does great and unsearchable things, and wonderful things without number. If he passes by me, I cannot see him. If he goes by, I cannot perceive him. If he snatches away, who can turn him back? Who dares to say to him, 'What are you doing?' God does not restrain his anger. Under him, the helpers of Rahab lie crushed. How much less then can I answer him and choose my words to argue with him? Although I am innocent, I could not answer him. I could only plead with my judge for mercy. If I summoned him and he answered me, I would not believe that he would be listening to my voice. He who crushes me with a tempest and multiplies my wounds for no reason, he does not allow me to recover my breath, for he fills me with bitterness. If it is a matter of strength, most certainly he is the strong one. And if it is a matter of justice, he will say, 'Who will summon me?' Although I am innocent, my mouth would condemn me. Although I am blameless, it would declare me perverse. I am blameless. I do not know myself. I despise my life. It is all one. That is why I say he destroys the blameless and the guilty. If a scourge brings sudden death, he mocks at the despair of the innocent. If a land has been given into the hand of a wicked man, he covers the faces of its judges. If it is not he, then who is it? My days are swifter than a runner. They speed by without seeing happiness. They glide by like reed boats, like an eagle that swoops down on its prey. If I say, 'I will forget my complaints, I will change my expression and be cheerful. I dread all my sufferings, for I know that you do not hold me blameless.' If I am guilty, why then weary myself in vain? If I wash myself with snow melt water and make my hands clean with lye, then you plunge me into a slimy pit and my own clothes abhor me. For he is not a human being like I am, that I might answer him, that we might come together in judgment. Nor is there an arbiter between us who might lay his hand on us both, who would take his rod away from me so that his terror would not make me afraid. Then would I speak and not fear him. but it is not so with me. I am weary of my life. I will complain freely without restraint. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say to God, "Do not condemn me. Tell me, why are you contending with me? Is it good for you to oppress, to despise the work of your hands, while you smile on the schemes of the wicked? Do you have eyes of flesh, or do you see as a human being sees? Are your days like the days of a mortal, or your years like the years of a mortal, that you must search out my iniquity and inquire about my sin? Although you know that I am not guilty, and there is no one who can deliver out of your hand. Your hands have shaped me and made me, but now you destroy me completely. Remember that you have made me as with the clay. Will you return me to dust? Did you not pour me out like milk and curdle me like cheese? You clothed me with skin and flesh and knit me together with bones and sinews. You gave me life and favor, and your intervention watched over my spirit. But these things you have concealed in your hearts. I know that this is with you. If I sinned, then you would watch me and you would not acquit me of my iniquity. If I am guilty, woe to me. And if I am innocent, I cannot lift my head. I am full of shame and satiated with my affliction. If I lift myself up, you hunt me as a fierce lion. And again, you display your power against me. You bring new witnesses against me and increase your anger against me. Relief troops come against me. Why then did you bring me out from the womb? I should have died, and no eye would have seen me. I should have been as though I had never existed. I should have been carried right from the womb to the grave. Are not my days few? Cease then. Leave me alone, that I may find a little comfort before I depart, never to return to the land of darkness and the deepest shadow, to the land of utter darkness, like the deepest darkness and the deepest shadow and disorder, where even the light is like darkness." Then Zophar the Naamathite spoke up and said, "Should not this abundance of words be answered? Or should this talkative man be vindicated? Should people remain silent at your idle talk? And should no one rebuke you when you mock? For you have said, 'My teaching is flawless, and I am pure in your sight.' But if only God would speak, if only he would open his lips against you and reveal to you the secret of wisdom. For true wisdom has two sides, so that you would know that God has forgiven some of your sins. Can you discover the essence of God? Can you find out the perfection of the Almighty? It is higher than the heavens. What can you do? It is deeper than Sheol. What can you know? Its measure is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. If he comes by and confines you and convenes a court, then who can prevent him? For he knows deceitful men. When he sees evil, will he not consider it? But an empty man will become wise. When a wild donkey's colt is born a human being. As for you, if you prove faithful, And if you stretch out your hand toward him, if iniquity is in your hand, put it far away, and do not let evil reside in your tents, for then you will lift up your face without blemish. You will be securely established and will not fear. For you will forget your trouble. You will remember it like water that has flowed away, and life will be brighter than the noonday. Though there be darkness, it will be like the morning, and you will be secure because there is hope. You will be protected and will take your rest in safety. You will lie down with no one to make you afraid, and many will seek your favor. But the eyes of the wicked fail, and escape eludes them. Their one hope is to breathe their last. First Corinthians 15, 1 through 28. Now, I want to make clear for you, brothers and sisters, the gospel that I preached to you, that you received and on which you stand, and by which you are being saved. If you hold firmly to the message I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I passed on to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom who are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as though to one born at the wrong time, he appeared to me also. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me has not been in vain. In fact, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is the way we preach, and this is the way you believed. Now, if Christ is being preached as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is futile and your faith is empty. Also, we are found to be false witnesses about God, because we have testified against God that he raised Christ from the dead, when in reality he did not raise him, if indeed the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is useless. You are still in your sins. Furthermore, those who have fallen asleep in Christ have also perished. For if only in this life we have hope in Christ, we should be pitied more than anyone. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also came through a man. For just as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own order. Christ the first fruits. Then when Christ comes, those who belong to him. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, when he has brought to an end all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be eliminated is death. For he has put everything in subjection under his feet. But when it says everything has been put in subjection, it is clear that this does not include the one who put everything in subjection to him. And when all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will be subjected to the one who subjected everything to him, so that God may be all in all. Psalm 38, a psalm of David, written to get God's attention. O Lord, do not continue to rebuke me in your anger. Do not continue to punish me in your raging fury, for your arrows pierce me, and your hand presses me down. My whole body is sick because of your judgment. I am deprived of health because of my sin, for my sins overwhelm me. Like a heavy load, they are too much for me to bear. My wounds are infected and starting to smell because of my foolish sins. I am dazed and completely humiliated. All day long I walk around mourning, for I am overcome with shame and my whole body is sick. I am numb with pain and severely battered. I groan loudly because of the anxiety I feel. O Lord, you understand my heart's desire. My groaning is not hidden from you. My heart beats quickly. My strength leaves me. I can hardly see. Because of my condition, even my friends and acquaintances keep their distance. My neighbors stand far away. Those who seek my life try to entrap me. Those who want to harm me speak destructive words. All day long they say deceitful things. But I am like a deaf man. I hear nothing. I am like a mute who cannot speak. I am like a man who cannot hear and is incapable of arguing his defense. Yet I wait for you, O Lord. You will respond, O Lord my God. I have prayed for deliverance because otherwise they will gloat over me. When my foot slips, they will arrogantly taunt me. For I am about to stumble, and I am in constant pain. Yes, I confess my wrongdoing, and I am concerned about my sins. But those who are my enemies for no reason are numerous. Those who hate me without cause outnumber me. They repay me evil for the good I have done. Though I have tried to do good to them, they hurl accusations at me. Do not abandon me, O Lord. My God, do not remain far away from me. Hurry and help me, O Lord, my deliverer. Proverbs 21, 28, and 29. A lying witness will perish, but the one who reports accurately speaks forever. A wicked person has put on a bold face, but as for the upright, he establishes his ways. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for another day to spend in it and another week to conclude in it. We are grateful and we are acknowledging the territory that we are in. This week brought us through the book of Esther and now into the book of Job. And will be camping out here as we explore suffering and anguish and trauma. And I just the darker, more difficult aspects of human experience. So we invite you, Holy Spirit. You are the comforter. And part of that is surrender, and part of that is allowing the truth to come, even though it's painful. And so we invite you into this process, a process that the scriptures have brought us into, and so it's a necessary process. Lead us into all truth about the process. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com. That is home base. The Daily Audio Bible app, that is home base as well. Get connected. Be connected in either place. Stay connected as we move through the journey to the goings-on. The goings-on of the 20th year that's going on right now. Well, one of the things that are going on right now is our brand new coffee that is rolled out to great fanfare and great applause. I'm grateful for that. Grateful that you are loving it the same as, well, we worked really hard to love it. And so we are loving it as well. Really, really wanted something for the 20th year. Coffee's been a part of the Daily Audio Bible story. We've had the Wind Farm brand for, 16, 17 years. So most of the time of the Daily Audio Bible, having a cup of coffee and moving through your morning with the scriptures, or, even a cup of decaf or whatever, you know, in the evening after dinner with scriptures, or just a thermos of coffee on the way to work, however that works. We are a people that drink hot beverages, especially in the morning and in the evening. And some of us all day long, if we're kind of keeping gassed up on caffeine, but it's just been kind of part of the rhythm. It makes for a good rhythm and a good pairing with the scriptures. And so we've always had that. And we just, I love coffee. I drink coffee every day, just about. And we have forever, pretty much, since I've been an adult. And I just thought one day, could we do this? And bring boutique level fresh roasted coffee into our community. And it's like something we spend money on most every day anyway. What if somehow that could just help, help with the global campfire in some sort of way? Could we actually do this at a level of excellence that we've tried to maintain as we do what we do here? And we have been. And so we have been for a very, very long time, but we wanted to bring out something special for the 20th year. We're here in the south of the United States, in the southern states. And so we wanted something to kind of commemorate that. And so with some refinements and getting recipes right, we've brought out Wind Farm Southern Pecan 20th anniversary reserve, and are loving it. I love opening up the bag in the morning before I grind some beans, and just what comes out of that bag into my nose and kind of into my life and into my morning and into my memories. And smells have such a profound, they can take us places so quickly. So that will always be this kind of association with Daily Audio Bible's 20th year. So, hope you can grab yourself a bag, or as many bags as you want. and bring it into your life as well. You can find the 20th anniversary reserve at the Daily Audio Bible Shop, either on the web or in the app. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you humbly, thank you deeply, thank you profoundly, with all gratitude, as we move through the summertime months. Deeply grateful for your continued partnership and allowing the Daily Audio Bible and the Global Campfire to exist. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. That's it for today. I'm Brian, and I love you. I do so much. So grateful. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Please pray for me. This is CC in PA. I'm at the end of my rope with my life and need prayer for something to change. I've been married for 24 years to a good man that I love as a person, but we do not have a very good physical relationship, and he deserves better than me. I suffer from depression and anxiety, and I feel like I am oppressed by the devil, and I can't break free from the trap that I'm in my own head. I have two daughters, and I haven't been a good mother to them because I'm selfish. I really don't like myself. I hate my job. I feel alone. I don't have any friends. I just hate feeling like this. Medicine doesn't work. Therapy doesn't work. I need a miracle, and I need help to just stop being me. I don't like myself. I can't stand who I am. I feel like the biggest hypocrite on the planet. I'm an adulteress. I'm an alcoholic. And I get jealous of everything everybody else has.
Dear DIB family, I think in our strengths as such a community all over the world, I want to ask to pray with me. Almighty God, I just read another report about the devastating suffering and starving in Gaza. And I want to pray that for us as humanity, that we can somehow stop this. I mean, I know we can't, but that you please interfere, God, and show whoever can change anything, whisper in their ear, move their hearts, their minds, so that peace and love can prevail and strengthen the people there. Humble us so that, and guide us if there's anything we can do, you want us to do, please show us. Meanwhile, I pray that we will do everything to work for inner peace within ourselves and around us, so that that can vibrate to the people who suffer so badly. And with every bite I do, I want to glorify you, God, and be grateful and send light to all those who don't have so much or nothing. God, I'm humbled. Please be with the people in Gaza and in Israel. Help them to find a solution for peace. Amen.
Tammy from the Central Coast of California. This is God's Life Speaker. Oh, I'm sending you a big, big hug. Minita probably is too, because she likes to give hugs. And I bet God's smile is sending you kisses. So you have a whole army out here fighting for your peace. It's peace. And yes, it sounds like you have a lot going on, but you are on the side of victory. You are not fighting for it. You are fighting from it. It has already been won. So praise God. Hallelujah for that. And yes, the refinement. Oh, nobody wants to be refined, but oh, the beauty that it brings from all of these ashes and ash heaps. So let's pray for your daughter, Sophia, and praise God that you were able to get her medical help, and that you sound like you need some rest. You just need to rest. Eat well, rest, walk when you get a chance, even if it's around the block. And look up, keep your chin parallel to the ground. There's no looking down that way. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Tammy, her family, and all the things that are going on. Lord, would you surround her with other believers, with some sisters that can just come, take her arms, maybe see that she needs some help, and come over and sweep her off her feet to give her a break. Would you send friends for Sophia that will send her cards and just lavish them with love, your love, as you tell us in Ephesians chapter 1. Lord, would you bless Tammy and her family? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
It's a beautiful thing when you hear a man praying over his wife. Curtis, I heard you praying over Angie about her breast cancer and her upcoming mastectomy. Father, I just want to lift up this couple to you. I know that every woman on this platform that has gone through breast cancer and survived can understand his prayer, his fear, his hurt for what his wife is going through. Father, be glorified in this whole thing. Turn everyone's heart towards you, O God, as they are watching Angie fight the good fight of faith. And thank you, Lord, that Curtis is speaking life over her and praying over her and believing for her health and wholeness in Jesus' name. It's a beautiful thing for a man to take the authority given to him by Jesus Christ and to pray over her that she will live and not die, says the Lord, because God has stuff for Angie to do. And obviously he's got stuff for Curtis to do and for them to do as a couple. So be glorified, Lord. Eradicate that cancer. May the double mastectomy go so successful and so smooth that they will know it was your hand that guided the physicians. I pray this in Jesus's mighty, wonderful name. You are faithful, O God. You are God of majesty. You are the God of wonders, and we trust you. In Jesus's name, God bless y'all. Bye-bye. Taken with love from Louisiana.
Good morning, Dabbers. This is Anonymous in New Mexico, and I called in a few weeks ago to ask for prayer for my son, who is a believer and who did get baptized and who gave his life to Jesus, but he has fallen back into homosexual sin, actually transgender sin. He is dating a female, biological female, who is living life as a male and who has has had her breasts removed. I just pray for, continue to ask you guys to pray for him and for those chains to be broken. I also ask that you pray for me. I have to go see a urologist on Tuesday, August 19th. I have a 1-centimeter kidney stone in my left kidney that has been there since April. And I've had some setbacks. I was supposed to have surgery in June. And then the hospital called me to tell me that my insurance was not in network with them. And so I have to start the process all over with the new urologist and another consultation. And 10 years ago, I had a stone about the size of a golf ball, and it really wreaked havoc on my kidney, and I had sepsis. And the doctor at that time was unsure if he would have to take my kidney. By the grace of God, I got to keep my kidney, but my function of that kidney is very minimal. And I'm in fear that there's a possibility that it could cause another obstruction. So I just ask that you pray for the situation and that they're able to handle this and get the stone removed and broken up. I'm also having some deficiency with my iron, and I'm having to have iron infusions once a week.
This is Aussie B in Australia. I just wanted to get some prayer. I'm not doing too good today. I don't know why. Part of what has been happening, I know I'm dealing with depression at the moment. And I think that sort of was compounded by having to leave my job because of my mental health. But I feel so incredibly lonely. I feel very much alone. And ironically, I'm surrounded by people. But I'm just really lonely. I don't have anyone. My daughter lives with me, but she's got her own life. She's like in her 30s and she's dating a lovely fellow, and they've just left for the day, and it's Sunday here, and Sunday the 17th of August, and I'm going to head off to church in about half an hour. But and I have my church friends, and but outside of church and outside of my volunteer work and outside of home or even in home, I mean, my daughter's got her own life, and I don't have anyone. I don't. And I'm just really lonely. And I'd really appreciate some prayer. All right, thank you.